Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
And we are live. This is Truth Quest Radio with Tia Severino, where we ask the questions that mainstream media is afraid to ask. And today is pretty exciting. I've been wanting to do a show on geoengineering for quite a while, but just trying to find somebody that would make a good guest that was knowledgeable was really the main thing that I was waiting for. And I do have somebody coming on today that I'm really excited to introduce you guys to. His name is Jerry, and I believe I've got him now. Jerry, is that you? Are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Tia.
Hi. So thank you for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. I was just saying I've been meaning to do a show on geoengineering for a while. It was just a matter of finding a good guest that could speak, that was knowledgeable about the subject. Because it's kind of one of those things that's got my attention. It's bothered me for a long time. You know, you look up into the sky, and normally you want to see a nice clear blue sky, maybe some puffy white clouds. But lately you look up in the sky and you see these big stripes all over it. What in the world are they putting in the air? It really doesn't make sense to me, because growing up, I used to see the planes that would go by and they'd leave a little white streak behind them, but they didn't last. They didn't stay, you know, for hours and hours and then spread out and almost cover the, you know, blanket the sky. And lately, it's just about every day, it almost seems a rare event to look up and see a clear sky.
What area do you live at, Tia?
I live in the Atlanta, Georgia area.
Wow, some areas are getting more chemtrails than others. They're getting more geoengineering.
Yeah.
What I found out by researching this is that a lot of programs are being run through DARPA, and they're also being run through our university programs. Harvard has it, Princeton has it, and there are students that are working on our global warming issues. They're getting grant money. They're coming up with hypotheses and theories and all that other stuff that those smart people do, and they're getting money to experiment, do the experiments. It's been going on for a while. And not only that, but it's being funded through the International Monetary Fund, ultimately.
So how long has it been going on that they have been intentionally spraying things into our atmosphere?
Well, the first instance that I could find in the news happened in 1915 down in San Diego, California.
1915 or
1915? 1915. There was some guy that was making rain. He went down there during a drought and said, I can make it rain. He made it rain. He made it rain so much that he ruined the crops that he was trying to save and ran them out of town.
Okay.
Not kidding. This is history, yeah. But,
yeah, I think I might have even heard that. Go on.
Oh, okay. There's lots of, once one starts poking around at the information that's available in the news, this was written about recently in the LA Times, and using a search engine, there's all kinds of things that come up. What I'm currently researching is the research that's going on in our universities.
Okay.
Because those are all programs that we're, you know, paying for as a society, and it's kind of interesting. They're using microwave, HARP, and geoengineering aluminum particles in the air to conduct experiments and see what happens to the air, the stratosphere, and also get readings from the ground. There's over at Princeton University's, there's a program that's measuring human consciousness, the Schumann resonance, which is real interesting. They were able to find indications that we consciously knew 9/11 was going to happen the day before. Through that, there was just a real anomaly in the Schumann resonance, and we were affecting it. And they're studying this at Princeton, yeah.
Interesting.
And then,
let's backtrack a little bit, because there may be people listening who don't really like know what we're talking about, right? So we're talking about geoengineering, which is the direct interference with, or not interference, manipulation of weather systems on the planet through atmospheric emissions from airplanes, things that are being put into the air. These are like intentionally being put into the air. And some people would say that this is a conspiracy theory, but you're actually able to verify where some of the materials are coming from that are going into the plane that are being sprayed into the atmosphere. The geoengineering, also known as chemtrails, a lot of people don't believe it. They think, well, you know, what would, yeah, they just want to put it out of their mind. It's nonsense. It's that we're all just kind of crazy that we're talking about the government or an international conspiracy to spray things into the air in order to control or manipulate the weather. So is this
crazy? Yeah, you know,
the people
that can't accept the idea that the government is adding fluoride to our water and that it's not a health product are going to continue to buy fluoride supplements because they're told to. And then there's other people, a big segment of our population, that know fluoride's not good for us. They don't really want to question too hard about why the fluoride's in the water, but they do buy fluoride filters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you start telling them about the facts about what fluoride's doing in the water and if it may be causing cancer, they don't want to know about that. But then there's some people that do.
Right.
And they'll look stuff up and find out that, yeah, that might possibly be true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creepy to talk about stuff. It's scary to talk about things like that. It doesn't put us in our happy place, but sometimes we need to say stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, they're using there's actually those people that, you know, buy fluoride filters also wonder what's going on in the air, and they test it, and both as government agencies are supposed to test it, but they're excluded from reporting about what's going on with certain chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The EPA is called these things good, like they've called water fluoride good, and there's actually people out there, agencies, that are public relations agencies for the fluoride industry to make it sound like the best thing that ever happened. And so there's all these agencies, there's public relations agencies out there that are selling our colleges on the need for global warming. Our Paris Climate Treaty was rejected by our president, rightfully so. It would cost us $100 trillion for the next 5 years or something ridiculous like that. It was just crazy. Yeah, and that was predatory legislation that was going to happen against the United States.
Yeah, I was taking a look at that, and it was set up so that the two biggest polluters besides the United States, India and China, were basically going to be able to ramp up their coal burning, their coal production and coal burning and polluting, where the United States was going to have to. It just doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense. I mean, we all need to be concerned about, like, our consumption, but it seems to me like the people who are pushing the global warming, you know, they're riding around in private jets and telling us we shouldn't drive SUVs.
Yeah. If you really start questioning what they're saying, none of it makes sense. It just doesn't make sense. There's another agenda afoot. The fact that these solar radiation management compounds are being sprayed in the troposphere rather than the stratosphere. We know we've mapped all this stuff out. The stratosphere is very high up there. We've achieved going into the stratosphere almost daily for the last 50 years. And to dump chemicals up there would take about 4 to 5 years for them to come down.
Mm-hmm.
It's very high. It's like 150 miles up. And the gravity's very low or non-existent there. But yet it would achieve solar radiation management. But instead, we're through these government grant programs, and different things, the parameters are that the experiments happen in the troposphere, which puts the chemicals directly in our heads in about 5 hours, 3 to 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is happening because the duration of the solar radiation management is half a day. They're constantly dumping this crap on us, where they could just apply it once and like paint a house. You don't paint your house every day. Well, they're painting the house every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put the chemical.
Is-
and another thing is they're using these toxic chemicals, and they could be using something like minerals that do not affect us. They're not chemically reactive to us. You know, just plain old dirt pounded to a fine, fine powder.
Right.
Instead, they're harvesting this stuff out of the coal plants.
Okay, so for people who don't understand what we're talking about, planes that are flying around and they are emitting chemical clouds into the air. Now, we can see
every time you see a plane with a trail that lasts for more than a few seconds, that's a chemtrail plane.
Okay. And
it's huge. It boggles the mind. Where are they getting all the funds to fund all that? Who knows?
Right. If they're concerned about global warming, what about the jet fuel that they're burning to put these planes in the sky, making crisscross patterns all over the sky, all day long, every day?
Exactly.
They're just open.
It's a huge can of worms when you start thinking about it. Oh, we're an oil shortage. Maybe that was a hoax too. In fact, there's a lot of people that say the oil shortage is a hoax, and Rockefeller got a monopoly on the oil distillation and the oil industry back in the 1910. That's kind of history, actually, if you look at it. But that's what happened. There was a monopoly on it. I think Venezuela was like $3 for a tank full of gas just 10 years ago.
Wow.
It was subsidized. Wow. They have since collapsed. The socialist economy doesn't last, but it was $3 a tank full.
So we know that they're spraying something in the air. The excuse that they're giving is that they have to do this to protect us from global warming, and they're basically going to, what, blanket the sky?
Right, and the fact that we know what they're spraying in the air, that it's the most toxic chemical they could possibly get their hands on, says something other than they're protecting us from global warming.
Right, and so how do we know what it is that they're spraying? Where are they getting
I take the most complete documentation on that. It's been done by the culprits themselves on their own websites at the universities when they say what they're going to use on us.
Okay.
This is all open. It's not hidden.
Mm-hmm. So they're spraying.
If you like, I can send it to you. We could put some stuff on your Facebook page, some links that covers all this. I've spent years looking at this different documentation. It might take me a while to get together, but
no
more than a few hours.
We've got the post that I put up. I tagged you in it. You can throw that there. We also have a chat room on Freedomizer Radio, and you can go to freedomizerradio.com, and you can go on the chat there. But either way, I mean, we'll get the information out there. But let's talk about what are they spraying, because now, the question is, are they spraying? Yes, the answer is yes, they are spraying. They've admitted they're spraying.
Right. Is it have an effect on our health?
Well, no, the next question is, what are they spraying? Right?
What are they spraying?
They are spraying, yes. And why are they spraying? Well, they say that they're spraying because they want to protect us from global warming. But then
solar radiation management.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So what are they?
And they went, once the temperatures were actually measured, they started calling it just climate change instead of global warming. But it's a multi-billion-dollar program.
It is climate change for sure. They are trying to change the climate, but
this technology, the study of this technology has gone back forever. I mean, remember the prophets of Baal and Jeremiah had it out in some of the Old Testament books. One of them built a bonfire. Another one built a bonfire and then put the other one out with rain.
Wow.
They're probably doing geoengineering back then with silver oxide in the bonfire. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. So
it's not that hard to do when you look at the science of it. We've had some researchers. Here's some names I'll throw out there. Royal Raymond Rife, he was studying frequencies and what's happening with the clouds now was some of his research that he started, and he was sent off to somewhere else. He wasn't ever able to complete that, but his research disappeared. There's another guy named Nikolai Tesla, and he was talking about the energies that were in our atmosphere, and... there's a lot of interesting stuff about his life and his research and what happened with that. And then there was another guy named, I was just reading his stuff, Wilhelm Reich. And he was directly using Oregon energy and different things. It's some interesting reading, and it has directly to do with geoengineering. His son is still alive and publishing.
So this guy
was sent off to prison to die, and he was directly messing with geoengineering in the 50s and the 60s. Very famous guy.
Yeah.
Wilhelm Reich. He's Australian that came to America.
What are they spraying? You were telling me that they are using coal fly ash.
Coal fly ash is like 50% of what it is. And then these different programs, they try out different stuff. Let's mix some titanium dioxide in there and see what happens. And they're publishing this at Harvard University. They're publishing these studies. Here's the guy's name. I'll throw out there. But I'll put this stuff on their website. Sawyer, I think is his name. Professor, Department of Mechanical Engineering.
This is stuff that's basically when you have a coal plant, You got to capture this stuff so that it doesn't go into the air and pollute the air, right? It's a pollutant.
I worked at Walco, and we made the equipment to capture that stuff. It's nanoparticulate mostly, and they use an ammonia vapor to capture that inside those tall chimneys that are on at the coal plants. They're shooting ammonia down there and catching all that fly ash, and then when it liquefies, they pump the ammonia and fly ash vapor out. After it's cooled down, it recondenses, and they filter out the fly ash. And then they have a ton of it in every place. They have tons of it. They have hundreds of tons, hundreds of millions of tons of this stuff laying around.
Shouldn't that be classified as hazardous waste then if it's...
Then they do that, the same magic, the same government magic they did with the fluoride that was from the, the fluoride was from the aluminum plant, and there was a guy inside the establishment, the FDA, and he was like these guys from Monsanto that go get a job at the FDA or whatever, that's how it works.
Right.
And let's call this a vitamin. It's good for your teeth. And they made up some crock of shit about how it's good for your teeth, and America bought it back in the 30s. And now they put fluoride in everything.
That's crazy.
This dude was able to sell this stuff, this toxic waste back. So he got paid on both ends of the fluoride.
Wow.
And the same thing, you're getting paid on both ends. These people want to, you know, set up a company that does geoengineering experiments. They got to go to coal fly ash people and get a couple of million tons of that.
So basically, they're taking something that is filtered out of the exhaust from the coal plant.
Right.
They're supposed to be protecting us by filtering it out. And
the regulation says this is toxic waste, and you've got to get rid of it.
And then they're taking that and spraying it in the air, along with
and then the scientist
else.
Guy comes along. I think Steve Kelly is his name. He's one of the top guys, and he said, "Oh, this stuff will be great for solar radiation management. Let's try that."
Oh my God!
The dude's kind of off his rocker. I mean, rational scientists that are concerned about human health. It's obviously because the way they're spraying in the stratosphere, they're spraying in the troposphere, not the stratosphere. It's for eugenics and a defoliant. Which my next door neighbor, he's a tree guy. I live in Paso Robles area, and we have oak trees everywhere. We've got groves and groves of trees dying. There's reports on the internet of hundreds of millions of acres of trees getting some weird disease, and this has been going on for decades, really.
So part of the geoengineering, you were talking earlier about HAARP. So once they put these metals and all these toxins into the air, they have this thing. And for people who don't know what HAARP is, this is a it's like a ray machine.
High altitude aerial research project. High altitude. And what they're doing is they're shooting different frequencies, microwave frequencies, into the air. And they've done lots of different experiments with different frequencies for a very long time. Nikola Tesla was one of the first back in the 20s.
You can see it when they turn it on a bank of chemtrail cloud. You can see these like weird wavy patterns in it. I mean, it's
exactly.
Really visible once you know what you're looking for, and that's what to excite the nanoparticles, the aluminum and barium and lithium and whatever else they're putting in the air.
Right.
I'm working on a
product. Just started gathering evidence about how this could possibly exist. What can we do with this research? What does it mean? You know, starting files and all that sort of stuff. And who's you know, is this available, commercially available to purchase? And it's not, sort of, it is. That same type of product we can purchase in an oxygen generator. It's an ultrasound wave that splits the H2O molecules and filters out the hydrogen molecules using some mineral, and then enriches the oxygen in the air, which is a really good idea to have since the government's using defoliants, and we get our oxygen from plants.
Right.
It's a really, I mean, that's what I wanted to get to here, Tia, is countermeasures.
Yes, what can we do about it?
Because, I mean, it's all neat to study all this stuff, but it's very frustrating to not do a darn be able to do a darn thing about it.
Exactly. And that's where I sit here and go, we've got to figure out, like, what can we do? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any action we can take to get the government.
Well, you know, the thing is understand, first, there's people in our environments. They're going to tell us, no, take the fluoride supplement. It's good. And don't pay attention to those people. And do your own thing. Go get the fluoride filter.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Don't wait for the next guy to save your life because he's going to watch TV and the ball game and stuff. And And then the other thing is those HEPA filters do work. They don't get the nanoparticulates like half the time.
Right.
A really good idea to have is a diffuser. I use doTERRA. I'm blessed to have a friend who sponsored me in a membership. I'm using essential oils daily.
Yep.
I'm quitting smoking.
So,
5 days no cigarettes.
What essential oils do you recommend to combat? Because I do Young Living, and I know I have a lot of crunchy moms that are big essential oils fans. So, what do you recommend for combating chemtrails?
Oh, I use the Breathe Mix and the peppermint. I mean, you know, different people respond to it differently. You know, so I couldn't recommend and say this is going to work for somebody else. But I think essential oils are really good. I've been studying the volatile organic compounds that are naturally occurring in plants, how it cleans the air, how that's what essential oils are about, having a diffuser in your office, in your bedroom, and some essential oils. It's really inexpensive. It's like 50 cents a day, if that.
Right.
You know,
do you take anything internally?
I do. I got a Paolo runs this nice restaurant about a block from my house. I walk over there and have a burrito every day with a cilantro on it or some tacos. Just really dose of the cilantro. Use the cilantro essential oil in my diffuser too. Cilantro is some magic thing that just the VOCs in it really get to the nanoparticulate heavy metals.
Oh, that's good to know. Pretty good.
Yeah, I made a great living for about 15 years as a brasser, doing nothing but brass work and copper, which is the dirtiest heavy metal you can ever deal with.
Wow.
And the fact that we're having a conversation and I'm not a blithering idiot says we're pretty freaking resilient to heavy metals. We just have to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like fruit juice, vegetable juice, cilantro. And I tell you, I know some welders, some guys that are in the trades, and they don't pay attention to that stuff. And when they're in 50s and 60s, they have dementia.
Wow. Yeah.
And dementia is taking over as, you know, heart disease or COPD or any of the other problems. Dementia is taking over. People are just too nuts, and they go into a mental institution, and they're, you know, sometimes they get euthanized if they can't pay for the big care.
Wow.
So it's not a pretty picture. It's a good idea to have cilantro and a diffuser and all that neat stuff.
Definitely. All right, well, my friend Jerry, it sure was great talking to you today. I've I've definitely enjoyed our conversation, and hopefully people will hear this and it will inspire them to do some research on geoengineering, aka chemtrails, and look up into the sky and see and pay attention. And when you see that, know that, you know, there are some things that you should do to protect your health. And certainly like I just get angry.
Can I tell you a story before we leave? Can I tell
yes,
you a story?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. I was with this guy named Freddie. I met him over some ad. I went and bought an RV from him. And he ended up being a stair cutter, too. So we hit it off.
Okay.
And I had a job I was finishing up. I finished a job. And then he had a regular deal as a stair cutter. I was doing some job at some Buddhist temple in Riverside, California, which is getting chemtrailed every day. So then I go out to the desert with this guy, Freddie, on his job, and we're doing track home staircases. And Riverside, on one of our assignments, we had different assignments all over the place, but on this one we had about 15 or 20 staircases to build out there and 2 days to do it. And they all paid $175 each, so... Freddie and I were really on top of that job, show up at daylight and go to home after dark and all that. But these planes came by and dumped on the entire crew there in the middle of our workday. And there was about 100 people there. We're out in the middle of the desert by Palm Springs at some housing tract. And I don't know if they thought it was fun or I have no idea why they did that, but there was two of them. And 50 out of the 100 people reacted.
Wow.
Freddie wasn't one of them. And it was just me on a crew that was doing staircases. And we went in his truck. So I was stuck there. I'm looking at these, and Freddie absolutely could not see them. His mind didn't understand that we're being bombed. I got angry at Freddie, and then the next day, when we finished our thing, Freddie wouldn't go get respirators. He was in denial. Some people are in violent denial about a lot of stuff. And they get triggered by seeing stuff that they're uncomfortable with. And they won't look at the problem. They'll look at you for telling them there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I found out with Freddie. Freddie was angry with me after that. He started being assaultive. Never was able to get to the place where he could see what was going on in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't work with Freddie long after that, I'll tell you. But everywhere I go, I go with a respirator, too.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's going to be people like Freddie, but hopefully people like
that.
Yeah,
some people are going to buy the filters. Some people are going to buy the supplements. I don't know. That's the way it is.
But some people are also, it's too much for them. They can't. I mean, I run into this with the vaccine issue a lot. Like you present people with a problem that they can't. The information, it's too much. It's like overload for them. But anyway, I appreciate you coming on the show. I have to run some commercials and get to my next guest. You're welcome to stay. We're going to be talking about vaccines in the next. The next guest that I have coming on is out in California, and we're going to be talking about vaccines, including Gardasil. But I have to play a couple of commercials and then move along. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'd love to have you back on another occasion. We could talk more about chemtrails and geoengineering and essential oils and all kinds of stuff. But thank you so much.
Nice.
Coming on.
That sounds wonderful, Tia. Okay, I think I'm just going to listen on the computer to the rest.
All right, sounds great. Sounds great.
Bye.
Bye.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Quest Radio, Saturdays, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Tia Severino. We'll be talking about the questions that you want answers to. Find us on freedomizerradio.com.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
And we are back. This is Tia Severino, your host on Truth Quest Radio. We've been talking about things that affect our health, and my first guest we were talking about geoengineering and chemtrails, which is one of the things that kind of interests me. It's kind of one of those things where you feel like, what can you even do about it? My next guest is the lovely Marlena from California, also in California, and we are going to shift gears here. And unless Marlena has anything to add about the chemtrails, I'm sure she probably sees them where she's at as well. But I guess we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about some vaccine, do a little bit of vaccine talk. And Marlena, are you with me?
Yes.
Hi, Marlena. Introduce yourself.
My name is Marlena. I live in California, and I have a 16-year-old daughter that's been affected by the HPV vaccine.
Okay. Yeah, that's one doozy of a vaccine for sure. I mean, my goodness, it seems like it's the one that I'm hearing the most really bad horror story, really, reactions to. So your daughter received the HPV. Tell me, you don't have to give your child's name if you don't feel comfortable with that. But tell me your daughter's story. What was she like before the vaccine? And why did you get the vaccine? And what happened after she got the vaccine? What is her life like now?
My daughter was 12 when she got her first dose of the HPV vaccine, Gardasil. We went into the doctor's office for her 7th grade vaccinations, and she got 6 total in one day. One of those was Gardasil. When I went in originally, I didn't realize that in the state of California, you're really only required to get the DTaP. So they told me, oh, your daughter needs all of these vaccines because the schedule had increased. And they told me that they had Gardasil, which would prevent my daughter from developing cervical cancer. And it was around the same time my dad was going through chemotherapy for cancer. So I thought, of course, you know, if it could prevent my daughter from having to go through any type of cancer, I would go ahead and consent to it. And within 24 hours, she started having migraines and seizures, and pretty much her health declined. I really didn't know, I didn't make the connection then. She went to the ER several times, and they told me she was having migraines. But her face was drooping, and it looked like she had a stroke, and she was really struggling to stay in school by March of that year. So I decided to homeschool her for her eighth grade year. And then by the time ninth grade came along, she wanted to go back to a regular high school, be with her friends. And all of that, I took her in for a checkup with her daughter, and they said, oh, she needs her second dose of Gardasil, and I consented. And again, within 24 hours, she had another seizure, and she collapsed at school. That's when I made the connection that it was the vaccines. I took her to her neurologist that was treating her for her migraines, and he told me that it was a typical reaction to Gardasil that he had been seeing a lot, and to make sure that he never gave her another vaccine. About a month later, we discovered that she had completely stopped menstruating, and just last week it was confirmed that she's not able to have children. So she has a lot of medical diagnosis. She has seizures, she has migraines, she has hypermobility, she has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, she has mast cell activation.
So for people who are listening to this, they don't know what all of these things are. Can you please go back and go through the things that you're saying that she has going on and explain what they are? Because we've got people listening from all over. They may not have any idea what, when you say these things, but they're, each one of these is serious.
Yes. Her system can't regulate her blood pressure, her heart rate. She has loose joints and can break bones very easily. She gets IV treatments for hydration 2 to 3 times a week, just to try to balance her blood pressure and keep her from fainting. She was homeschooled for the rest of her high school. She gets to walk for graduation in 2 weeks. So, you know, it's difficult. She wasn't able to stay in orchestra and play instruments and do things that normal high school kids get to do. So it's been very difficult because she sees a lot of her friends doing a lot of stuff that she's not able to. And even if she goes out with her friends, if she goes to the movies with her boyfriend, it could make her stay in bed for days on end trying to recover.
What was her health like before she got the vaccine?
She was completely healthy. She had asthma that acted up every once in a while. She got a cold, and she got, you know, the average cold or tonsillitis, you know, once or twice a year, but she was pretty much healthy. She's very artistic. She loves to draw. She plays several instruments. She's very outgoing and she was just, you know, so full of life, and to see her health decline.
So she was active and healthy, and she didn't have any of these crazy health conditions that were going on with her prior to getting the two doses of the Gardasil and whatever other vaccines she got that day. the first day.
Right.
The day she got the first dose.
Right.
How is she handling all of this emotionally?
She has good days and bad days. The past couple weeks, we got some pretty hard news, and it's been difficult. Even for me as an adult, I can't. It's hard to accept that she won't ever be able to have children of her own. It's hard on not just me, but, you know, not just her, but our whole family.
And what reason are they giving for her not being able to have children?
She has not menstruated since her second dose of Gardasil. It's been over 4 years. So she's in what's considered premature menopause. She has hot flashes. She doesn't menstruate at all.
So wait, how old is she?
She'll be 17 in July, but this has been going on. It started when she was 12, but it got significantly worse when she was 14 and she had her second dose.
So what you're telling me is that you gave your daughter a vaccine that was supposed to prevent cervical cancer.
Right.
Cancer in her reproductive organs, right?
Right.
Your daughter lost her legacy from that. She's not going to be able to have children of her own, and she's had seizures, and she has all these other medical conditions, and she's actually gone into premature menopause, and she's 17 years old. She'll never... That is just heart-wrenching. I mean, you know, and how do you feel when you find out that Gardasil doesn't even protect against cervical cancer?
To be honest, I have a lot of anger, and I blame the doctors. I blame Mark. When your child goes through something like that, the doctors are in denial, and they blame everything but the vaccine. It is noted in her medical records that it did begin with the first Gardasil when she was 12. All her medical records state that. It is recognized on paper by the doctors that it started with the first dose of Gardasil. Now, very few doctors have acknowledged it to the point to where they'll treat it as vaccine injury. They don't treat it as a vaccine injury. They treat symptoms. And... you know, trying to have a conversation. Just last week when they told us she wasn't going to be able to have children, you know, it was a new doctor and they confirmed and they said, I'm sorry that this happened, but you need to explain to me when her symptoms started. And when they tell them, well, it was when she had her second dose of Gardasil, the room goes silent. It's notated in the medical records, and it's acknowledged, but it's not ever really discussed.
Wow. What would you say to a mother, father for that matter, that is considering whether or not to let their daughter or son receive the Gardasil vaccine?
My advice is to do the research, look for yourself, look at the ingredients, look at the side effects, talk to parents who have lost their children, who have had vaccine injury, and make the decision for yourself. you know, I live in California and we have a lot of vaccines that are being mandated. Gardasil is not one of them. However, there was a bill passed in 2011 called AB 499, which allows it allows schools, pediatricians, to give your children Gardasil without your knowledge or consent. If the child is 12 years and older, it's considered sexual health, and they are able to make those decisions on their own without parental knowledge or consent. So if you know somebody in California, have those talks with your children. It's difficult, but it is well worth it than to see somebody sick and having, you know, symptoms and not knowing why.
Right. So you're living in California. You have school-aged kids. Are they in school or are you homeschooling?
My daughter graduated from homeschool. My middle son is homeschooled. And my youngest is still in elementary. It's a combination because my daughter's medical records and our family history, I was able to get medical exemptions. However, I just learned a few days ago that they're going to start sending, I guess you could call them health agents from the California Department of Public Health to go to each school and examine the medical records and examine the medical exemptions and the vaccine records. So there's a big push to make sure that these kids are fully vaccinated regardless of what their medical status is or, you know, family history is.
Wow.
There's parents that are pediatrician offices every day. So, you know, finding a doctor that's willing to give a medical exemption and put their license on the line is extremely difficult, even when you have valid reasons. And you go through, it took me 3 years of proving to doctors that, you know, my daughter had a vaccine injury and that my kid should be exempt. But, you know, I was able to prove it.
Crazy. I can't, I sit and I shake my head. I'm from California. I just, it blows my mind what has happened there in the last few years. Just really, it's frightening, you know.
It is. It is. And then, you know, there's also a push for HPV to be given to college students. They're targeted when they go into college. So it's kind of concerning as a parent, you know. I know many parents that have left the state, and rightly so.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I left there in 2003. And I'm glad. I really haven't lived back. You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's a great place. I was born and raised here. You know, my whole family is here in California, and to leave the state would be extremely difficult. But, you know, at the same time, you have to weigh your options when you realize that it would be difficult for your kids to go to school or even college at some point, and not to mention the cost of living here is probably the highest in the country.
Yeah, that's enough reason right there. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful there. It's absolutely beautiful. Certain areas of California are just breathtaking. But, it's not, I felt like I was running for my life. And little did I know what was coming, you know what I mean? But I felt like I was running for my life when I left there. I still think it's doomed to go into the ocean, but that, who knows if and when that'll happen. But people have been saying that for a while, you know.
Yeah.
Because of the Yeah.
Yeah, Fukushima.
Oh, my goodness.
All of that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And what, what part?
It's scary.
What part of California?
I live in Orange
County.
I live in Orange
County.
Yeah,
so south of L.A. Yep. I went to Pepperdine. So,
it really is beautiful, but it's hard with the political direction that they want to take the state in. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I know. What are you going to do, though, if they come after your medical exemption? I heard they're even going after homeschoolers next. They basically want to make it impossible to be in the state of California with a child and not have that child be vaccinated and or at risk for the state to just take. Surely you saw what Senator Pan tried to do with SB 18.
Right. As of yesterday, I believe it was put on hold for the remainder of this year. SB 18 is now called SER 41, which is
the
resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So, the cost is estimated between $9 and $40 billion, which is just huge.
Wow.
Something the state can't afford.
Yep.
But the deadline was yesterday, and any budgets would have to be approved by June 15th. So from what I've heard is that they decided not to move on it this year. But it doesn't mean that they won't try it later.
Well, get that jerk out of office. I mean, really, he's got no business writing legislation for the state of California. He does not have the citizens of California's best interests.
Yeah. And actually, there's a recall for the guy who's in my district. So he was on board to support SB 18. So there's many reasons why the people in my particular district are doing a recall on him. I wish they would do that in Senator Pan's district, but unfortunately they haven't been too successful over there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a pretty powerful bankroll behind him. You know what I mean? I think he's...
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got an opponent running against him, though. So now maybe there's a chance to get him out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And a lot of people, I mean, not just with the community we're involved in, but pretty much there's a lot of other reasons why people don't want him in office. So, I hope that whatever candidate they have run against him is strong. It's just from what I've heard, I'm not in his district, but from what I've heard, it's going against a lot of corporations and big money, and particularly pharma.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And they've got deep pockets, for sure, for this kind of stuff. So they really do.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to do a commercial. When I come back, I'm going to bring Georgia on. And Georgia is going to talk about, and I'll keep you on the line. Would you like to stay on? And I'm going to let Georgia share her story, and then the three of us can finish out the show if you want to do that. Would you like to do that?
Oh, sure. That's fine.
Journey into Freedom is a show about just that. Come join me as we discuss alternative medicine, energy work, homeschooling, homesteading, barefooting, grounding, and so much more. This is a program where I want people to be heard and to share thoughts and ideas and opinions on everyday freedoms. Learning to free yourself from all things no longer serving to your purpose is the first step to living free. So let's discuss what makes us free and how we can attain those freedoms every day by the way we choose to live. Journey into Freedom. With me, your host, Red Gypsy. Hope to see you then. Namaste.
Tune in to the Mad Scientist Expo Show every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, where we discuss the science and the news today, take a closer look, and expose where fraud is being committed for various agendas, from money to politics to downright pure evil and malice. Of course we trust science. It's scientists we don't trust. Tune in and join the conversation on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, on Freedomizer Radio.
Sick of all the doublespeak on the radio these days? Tired of turning on your television to hear nothing but lies? It's time for some real news, don't you think? Tune in to Freedomizer Radio on Saturdays, 12 p.m. Pacific, and listen to Truth Quest Radio with Tia Severino. We search for the answers to the questions the mainstream media is afraid to ask. Join us on our quest. Truth Quest.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
And we are back. I'm Tia Severino, your host of Truth Quest Radio. I've been talking with Marlena about Gardasil, and I have my friend, my sweet friend, Miss Georgia, is calling in. Georgia's not calling from Georgia, though. She's calling from North Carolina. So, and I'm here. I'm in Georgia. Georgia, on my mind. How are you, my dear?
I'm good, Tia. Hey, Marlena. You're going to have to forgive me. I'm quite emotional after listening to Marlena.
Yeah,
I
that was the...
Sorry. Marlena's kind of going through, like, our biggest fear with the whole thing of going into premature menopause. So it kind of hits home with me, plus my kids at home, of course, in the bed, sick. So.
Now, do you ladies know?
So
is this
easy
a common,
on me, I'm sorry.
Is this a common side effect of Gardasil, or the premature menopause, ovarian failure, and all those other infertility issues? Is this common?
Yeah, we're seeing it more and more. Marlena and I are in a Gardasil group together. In that group, I don't know, Marlena, what would you say, average 5 to 7 girls and now boys are added daily, parents that are making the connection all across the globe, figuring out that the Gardasil is why their kids are having all these strange symptoms. And they're all the same. They're all the exact same. Marlena's daughter and my daughter have the same diagnosis of POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, and also the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, hypermobility type. These are common diagnoses for these kids now.
One of the main issues that I struggle with and the Ehlers-Danlos diagnosis is that we're told that it's genetic. Obviously, our kids are not related, but there is a very high diagnosis rate within our group of kids that have been diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos and in the Gardasil injury community.
Absolutely. And even bigger shake of the head was Macy's geneticist doctor when she saw that Macy had genetic testing done as a child because she had sickle cell trait. She only carries the trait, not the disease. Macy was extremely healthy, very strong. She was probably in the best physical shape of her life prior to that injection. She had one injection of Gardasil and Menactra, which is a meningitis vaccine. But Macy had no, there was no Ehlers-Danlos noted on her genetic screening as an infant, as a child. So where did it come from? That was my question. And the geneticist even looked at me and she said, you know, we've been studying EDS for years. They've been studying it for 30 plus years really strong, and we still don't really have treatment for it. So the great thing is now we have these diagnoses, and none of these things have treatment. That's the hardest thing for my kid. So what she has now is a hydrocodone prescription and an appointment at a pain clinic. You don't want your 15-year-old kid to have on hydrocodone. You know, I give her probably maybe 4 a month, if that. I divvy them up like, you know, crazy because I don't want her depending on that. But who wants to see their kid in pain all the time? You know, she's constantly cracking her knuckles, and when she walks, sometimes you can hear cracking and popping, and she has constant migraines, and she's so stoic. She just smiles through it and puts on her makeup and does her hair and tries to keep up, but she can't. You know, she just paces herself and does the best she can. You know, 1 o'clock in the morning last night, the door knocks. I'm like, who in the world is that? I fly up, and it's her. She was at a sleepover, and she had to have the parents bring her home because she felt so bad. So nothing in our lives is normal anymore. Nothing. Nothing's normal. I've aged 10 years in 2 years. Her sister and her brother are constantly having to watch over her. She has bunk beds, and her younger sister sleeps above her. And in the beginning, I would have her check a lot, you know, make sure Macy's breathing, make sure Macy's okay.
Oh, my God.
These are things you should never have to ask your kids to, you know, to do. We, Marlena can tell you, we had two girls from our group die last week.
In the
one
same
died in
week.
The bathtub. Just died in the bathtub, just taking a bath. Like, please, people, just don't get this vaccine. Don't do it. It's if you study it, you'll see that there's just, it doesn't even help anything. The numbers don't even, numbers don't lie. And the lead researchers even come out, one of the lead researchers, Diane Harper, has even come out and said, this doesn't even make sense. This stuff isn't even going to help anyone. And the new Gardasil is even worse. The Gardasil 9, they've more than doubled the aluminum content.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where she would be if we had a second or third injection of that stuff. I don't know where she would be. Sorry, Marlena, go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. The first one, because my daughter had hers spaced out. Usually they give them within 6 months, I believe. She got the first Gardasil that was on the market. I think it was a quadrivalent. And then that had 250 micrograms of aluminum in it. And then when she had her second dose, it was the Gardasil 9. And Gardasil 9 has 500 micrograms of aluminum in it. And they even had kids dying in the clinical trials that were on the placebo. So
right.
It's, you know,
because the
it
placebo
was not tested.
Well, let's talk
about
why
placebo had the adjuvant
this,
in
like,
it. Was,
because,
placebo
yeah,
was aluminum,
that,
so it wasn't even like saline.
Because,
like you'd think, I was never, you know, this anti-vax stuff, that was never me. I didn't need like a cause in my life. I have a friend that runs an orphanage in Kenya. I was very interested in helping with that. Like, I didn't care about that. I did what I was supposed to do. You take your kids, they get their vaccines, they go to school. I thought I had to. Yeah, I didn't even take
mm-hmm.
her for this one. Actually, her dad took her, and she came home, and she was crying. And she never comes home crying. She's very tough. She said, I had a vaccine, and it really, really hurt. And I said, what? You were just supposed to get your sports clearance. That was what you were going for. So people, please be aware, too, when all these well checks and all these things, these are really opportunities to you know, give vaccines to your kids. So just be diligent and be watching. But you know, so mm-hmm. I didn't really know much about it, but I had heard that some girls had died from Gardasil. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I'd heard that. So thank God. I called the doctor and I said, I don't want her to have these. Cancel those next two appointments. I watched her like a hawk that whole weekend. She slept all weekend. She literally got up to eat and that was it and go back to bed. And I thought, okay, phew. We dodged a bullet here. She's fine. You know, you think something's going to happen immediately. And Marlena, luckily or unlucky, as you might call it, having a child react immediately, that's not always the case. More typically, it's like my daughter. It's 4 to 6 weeks later that symptoms onset. So you don't really put it together. I didn't put it together. She had her shot in September, and I didn't put it together till January. And I read through some girls' stories. I said, my God, it was like reading my kid's diary. It was so the same, the fainting in the shower, the 5 times she had tonsillitis, the constant headaches. She dropped 15 pounds in 3 months, just picking at her food, couldn't eat anything. She was like always yellow looking. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what was going on, but I didn't put it together. But the sooner you put it together, I guess, the better. But even better, just don't even have the damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, even though my daughter's symptoms developed like right away, it progressed, and she had, in the beginning with the first shot, she had massive weight loss, and she slept for 14 hours a day. She still sleeps. More often than not, she's always sleeping.
Yeah.
But as the months continue, the worse she got.
Yeah, it does seem to get progressive.
We've been battling this for about 5 years, and every doctor's appointment, it's just more diagnosis and more bad news. And the doctors are really clueless on not only what their diagnosis is, but how to treat it.
Yeah, there is. That's the worst part, is we actually thought, okay, we'll get some diagnosis, we can get some treatment, we can get some help. Well, there isn't really any. There isn't any. You know, the best thing we've found is watching her diet. That seems to help a lot with the stomach pain. The back pain is there. She's been diagnosed with scoliosis. She never had any of this, none of this was even, it was just a normal kid, a couple colds every year, you know, that's it. Now it's just nonstop, thing after thing, you know. Now, strangest thing, she had a dentist appointment. All of a sudden, she has 10 cavities. Now, this is a kid that's ate mostly no gluten, no dairy, and no sugar. She never drinks soda. She lives on water. Where did 10 cavities come from? She's had 2 in her whole life. She's lost half her hair, so there's some kind of keratin component here, too, or it's the Ehlers-Danlos. That seems to be teeth involved, too. But now she's got to go and have general anesthesia because the dentist and the cardiologist and the geneticist all don't want her in the chair that long, so she has to be literally put to sleep under general anesthesia at the hospital to get fillings. Like, our lives are just crap now. There's nothing that's normal, and I'm angry, and I'm hurt all the time.
Mm.
We're just so tired. We're just all so tired. And it's not fair everywhere that you go to look for help. There's nobody to help. There is no help coming. The only help is going to be me to help my own kid. And it's so frustrating. Thank God that we have these groups and these other mothers that are all dealing with the same thing, and they've been amazing, amazing help of pointing in this direction. Maybe it's this, get this test, get that done. You know, Mace had just had to give, she gave, Friday, she had to give 10 more tubes of blood. They only got 7 because her vein collapsed. It always does. And I just told him, you know, deal with it. Get what you can get out of that. No more sticking my kid. Because they take blood every 3 months, and they're never coming back with anything. There's never any help, you know. What they're going to come back and say, she's lactose intolerant. Well, we know that. You know, like, you're not helping me. And then if you mention Gardasil, God forbid you mention it might be the vaccine. You know, the only doctor that's really acknowledged, yeah, it very well could be, was her neurologist. It's just so frustrating. You know, they look at you like you're crazy. And it's exhausting, like, and it's hurtful. And your kid doesn't know what to believe in anymore, you know, who to believe in. They just kind of have to do the best they can every day, and that's just not okay. It's not good enough. It's not good
enough
to tell my
kid. The downside
to
this is a lot of doctors, a lot of the doctors, they try to, because they don't have answers and they don't know enough about the diagnosis our kids do have that they claim it's psychological, and we know that it's not. So
a
lot of these
anxiety and depression medicine, yeah, they wanted to do all that, and I was like, wait a minute, who wouldn't be depressed if, you know, they're sick all the time, and who wouldn't be anxious if their blood pressure and their heart rate shoots through the moon every time they stand up? But no, I don't want my kid on anxiety medicine. Benzodiazepines, pass. No thanks. Sorry, Marlena, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I think every single person in our group, our HPV injury group, has had a doctor blame it on a psychosomatic a diagnosis and just try to blame it on anxiety, depression, psychological, because they know that it's, you know, it's my belief that they do know that it's the vaccine and they turn a blind eye on purpose.
I think more and more are starting to see, you know, and I keep saying it. I don't care if they think I'm crazy at this point. Maybe if they see a few more and they note in the chart that that kid had Gardasil too, maybe they'll put it together. Her geneticist was very interested, and she said she's going to keep looking for that when she gets more EDS hypermobility diagnosis. So she was very open to the possibility. The neurologist was too. The cardiologist was sort of. The gastrointestinal doctor yesterday, not at all. So another reason I'm very raw emotionally today. It's like a medical mental violation every time that you go through that. You know, when you have them look at you like you've sort of lost your mind, you know. But if I've lost my mind, then I've collectively lost it with thousands of other mothers all across the globe. So you just can't tell me that. You can't tell me that all these kids having the same symptoms, same problems, same diagnoses right after Gardasil. It's just a coincidence. It's absolutely not a coincidence. It's that crap, and it needs to be pulled. It's been pulled from what, Marlena, Japan? What are the other countries that it's been pulled from?
It's been pulled in Japan, India, and
Sweden?
I know there's one other. Yeah, I think Sweden.
I think it's Sweden, there, yeah. So what do these
in
people
India,
all
they're
know?
Actually, they're actually suing Merck in India.
Yeah.
So,
so and I just found out that our government has a connection and a financial stake in Gardasil. The only vaccine that I know of, maybe I'm wrong, that they actually have shares and money making in the U.S. government in Gardasil. And they've almost made it cool now. If you turn on MTV or VH1, any of the kid Disney Channel, any of the kid, teen, preteen kind of focused television ad or television stations, you'll see that stupid one less commercial. Mom, Dad, don't make me one less, you know, whatever, make what, whatever. I don't know. I just want to scream. I'll never forget the first time Macy saw that. She looked at me and she said, "You have to be kidding." And she had the worst look on her face. And it's like, how do I tell her everything that we're supposed to trust, you probably can't trust? It's like a really crap lesson for my kids to learn in these years when you're supposed to be carefree. You're supposed to be going to dances and parties and football games and having fun. And you're supposed to feel great. You're supposed to have boundless amounts of energy. What a joke. The kid has no energy. I don't know how she does it. We're at 40 days this year of school that she's missed. Somehow she's managed to keep her, she has honors classes, and she's managed to keep her grades somehow. But now they're looking at, she has a 504 plan for school. They're looking at the possibility of, because she's worse in the morning, Marlena. Is Kayla worse in the morning? Sicker in the morning?
When she was going to school, yes.
Yeah.
Which
the morning, for
it,
some reason, yeah. They're looking at putting her on a an online class for her first class or two. But, you know, I'm trying to keep her life as normal as possible. You know, like, it's affected enough. Like, please don't make it steal her high school, too. You know, this is proms. And it was one of the reasons I let her go to prom this year as a freshman. Because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, God, the kid might not, you know, get to go to her prom, so yeah, you can go. But it just changed everything. Marlena, has it changed like everything in your life? I can't think of a thing. It's changed our refrigerator, like what we eat. It's changed her products.
Yeah,
you know, I watch the products I use in it or around or on Macy. Like, there's just not an aspect of your life that this doesn't change, and I just could kill myself for not being with her that day at the doctor and, you know, being able to say, no, I will pass on that. It's just a decision you can't ever get back. You know, 1 second,
yeah,
and then your whole life, the whole trajectory of everything has changed. And now I get where, like, these autism parents were coming from. I so get it. And I'm so appreciative to all of them because, you know, with everything that's been going on in vaccination, all the autism moms in that community and the parents and the crew of that movie Vax, like, the first thing they did was put a hand back, you know, to us Gardasil people and say, whoa, we see what's going on here. Let's help you up here. Let's see what we can do to help you. And I just feel a huge debt to those people. I don't know. I was never an anti-vaxxer or whatever you want to call it. I think that's so stupid. You know, most people weren't. I don't know anybody that – I have one friend, one smart friend that never vaccinated who I kind of always thought, well, that's crazy. You know, now I think, well, that was one of my – you know, she was really smart. It's amazing how it changes your life. You know, it changes your friends. Nobody wants to hear about this, and it's pretty much all that your life turns into. Nobody wants to see you post about it all the time on your Facebook. Nobody wants to call you because you're crying all the time or going to doctor's visits or, you know, it's Macy's even lost friends. She had friends say they didn't want to take her to the beach because you can't go outside and you're not as fun and you sleep a lot. She's lost a boyfriend over it. You lose so
much.
Yeah,
that happens a lot.
Yeah. Has it happened to Kayla too? Yeah, no, it's just... It's crap.
Yeah,
and
Kayla went about a year and a half with really nobody other than her boyfriend. She has a really good boyfriend. They've been together for two years. He's basically been the only person that's stuck by her.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, she lost friends. She went to prom with her cousin. Because she didn't, you know, she was homeschooled, so she didn't have the opportunity, and, you know, she cried for 3 months, I'm never going to have prom. But it happened, and I know that it's difficult, but just last week, on a positive note, my daughter had told me that she thinks that despite all the bad things that have happened to her, that maybe it happened to her for a reason so she could share her story and you know, help prevent it from happening to other people.
Wow.
And some of the friends that she does have now, and she's becoming more outspoken, and she had a sleepover with a couple friends, and they watched back. So she was able to open their eyes, and they said, you know, well, you know, I'm never going to vaccinate my kids. And this was, you know, coming from somebody who was in college to be a nurse. So, you know, I can see that it's, you know, she's kind of making it more of an empowering situation now to where I can't change what happened to me, so I'm going to prevent it from happening to other people.
That's so good. That's so good. Macy's still sort of very quiet about it. They know, her friends know her diagnosis, like POTS and stuff like that, but she doesn't talk about a lot because, you know, she doesn't want to be the sick kid. She wants to be normal. And I'm not going to tell her, you have to become an activist now. You have to, you know, you have to be this. I'm not going to tell her how to handle her illness, or even that she's ill. You know what I mean? Like, I try not to focus on it, and even though it's our life now, but, you know, when she's feeling good and she wants to go somewhere, everything in me is saying, oh, my God, no, please don't, because I know the pay, you know, for just the night at the movies means 2 days in bed. But, no, I say, of course, yeah, go. You know, now we're in this little country town, and they swim at, like, this watering hole, like, cliff place, and, you know, I'm terrified. I'm thinking ticks, parasites, da-da-da-da-da, you know, like, what's going to get, you know, all that, because there's a lot of tick-borne Lyme and Bartonella and stuff, too, that these kids are getting. That's a whole nother nasty road to go down, but, you know, she told me one time, just 6 months ago, she said, Mom, what do you want to do, put me in bubble wrap, send me out in bubble wrap? And I thought, oh, okay, back off. It's time to back off. She wants to live. I got to let her live as much as I can. You know, it's hard because you want to teach them to how to, you know, it's like working a stick shift, right? Like, when do you press the gas and when do you press the brake? And she's just going to have to find her own rhythm. And almost 2 years in, and she's kind of doing that. I'm really, really proud of her. The kid's my hero.
Mm-hmm.
She's definitely my hero.
I don't know about where you're at, Georgia, but I'm pretty sure, at least for Marlena in Southern California, that there's probably a little bit better access to hyperbaric therapy. Are you familiar with hyperbaric therapy at all, either one of you?
I am. We actually separated from Macy's dad at this exact same time, like literally 2 weeks post-vaccination. So we are a Medicaid family right now. And, boy, let me tell you, I've had to do 2 GoFundMes just to get Macy her homeopathic treatment, to get IV treatments, to get vitamins and minerals and just different things she's needed. We have small copay, you know, to cover small copays and stuff. So, unfortunately, I'm sort of stuck working within that system or going and asking friends and people for help again. And it's just so, I mean, as beautiful and wonderful as people are, it's just so humbling and hard to say, hey, my kid needs this and I can't provide. You know, it sucks to say I can't provide.
Where you're at in North Carolina, how far are you from Atlanta?
About 4 hours from Atlanta, and I'm sure there probably is in Charlotte, you know, and that's only 25 minutes up the road. And, you know, I'm getting ready to go back to school myself. I'm going to go to real estate school. I've got to recreate myself and bring more money in this house so I can – my motivation is to help my kid now more than anything, you know.
Yep.
So,
we'll talk after the show. I can,
those treatments
I can
get
you
are
going
to be that sort of direction is how healing is it seems to be coming for girls in our group. It's definitely not coming through the doctor's office. Sorry, Tia, were you saying something?
I was saying we're going to talk after I get off after we get off the radio show here. At the clinic that I work at, we give everyone a free visit, and we work with families all the time that are struggling financially. So, let's talk about you coming and bringing Macy down here and get her some hyperbaric, just even to try it out so you'll know what it's about. And Marlena, let's talk, too. I can maybe point you towards something in Southern California for your daughter. Because,
that's awesome. Tia, I've joked that I would dunk her in purify her in the waters of Lake Minnetonka if it would work. I mean, I really, as long as it's not, anything that's not dangerous or crazy,
I'm
willing to try to help my kid, People try to accuse you.
Hyperbaric therapy uses increased atmospheric pressure to get oxygen into all of the fluids and cells of your body. So it's great for healing and, just basically anyone that breathes air, it's good for. But, yes, it's good for healing and detoxing and all that kind of good stuff. So we'll get you set up. You can go to hyperbaricphp.com. That's the website, hyperbaricphp.com. And that the PHP stands for people helping people. So they can give you a little bit of an idea what our mission or motto is. But anyway, we are at the end of the Truth Quest radio show. I have to say goodbye to my lovely and wonderful guests now and in the episode. So thank you so much, Marlena and Georgia, for coming on and sharing your heart-wrenching story of what the Gardasil vaccine has done to your daughters. My heart goes out to you, as to all of the other families out there that have vaccine injuries from whatever vaccine. I know that I was injured by vaccine, so it's not just children that get injured, even adults get injured as well. So we'll be back here again next week at the same time on Truth Quest Radio, and Thank you once again for listening, and thank you for calling in to my guest.
Thanks, guys. Love to you both. Take care.
You too. Bye.
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 You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.